With us today is a very special person and guest, is Ted Huey. Ted Huey is a very well-known and colourful figure in Hong Kong, a great Democrat and someone who entered politics young and has played a very important role in the politics of Hong Kong. He was in the Democracy Party and until recently was there working as a politician and was a legislative councillor there. I was wanting you to talk a little bit about how you became involved in much more direct activity, passive resistance, demonstrations on the street, the whole business of that umbrella movement, which was to basically make claims for greater democracy, for protection of human rights, freedom of expression. Mm-hmm. And tell me about making that move onto the streets.
I spent a lot of time in frontline protests with protesters. It is because the time that I spent inside chamber in the legislature never worked. We were never able to persuade the government, or we never had the real veto power or any bargaining power inside the chamber, because how the system was designed is that in our legislature, it's only a half democracy. Only half of our seats is directly elected by the people. The other half, by functional constituencies, we call small circle elections, more or less appointed by Beijing or Beijing-friendly elite. So our legislature never really worked. The time I spent more in the legislature, I felt like more endorsing the system. But it's the opposite in the streets. When people all took it to the streets with their five demands and all the democratic demands, I felt like I was fighting with the people. I was in line with the people in the streets, and the spirit was high. And I felt like at that time, I was really representing the people. So it's important to send that signal or message to the public that even representatives, real representatives, are in the streets. That's one. And I also spent a lot of time in the front line because I felt responsible of protecting the people, because what they're facing is brutal. Police force, rubber bullets, pepper spray, tear gas, a very serious weapon. And I tried to be a peacemaker, convincing the police that this can be resolved peacefully and pointing out at the point that they were violating human rights.
One of the things that really was a great escalator in all of this was the introduction of the national security law, which emanated from China. It really has got very stringent implications in terms of freedom, because it does mean that it forbids acts of secession, subversion, terrorism. Most governments have got laws that do that kind of thing. And they also refer to collusion with foreign forces. That often just means communicating with the world, doing an interview with the BBC, telling a newspaper journalist what is happening at protests and what is happening in terms of the politics of Hong Kong. I just wondered if you could explain a bit about that.
After I left Hong Kong, I'm now officially announced by the Hong Kong police I'm a wanted person for arrest under the national security law. That piece of legislation itself was forced enacted by Beijing, bypassing totally the legislature discussions and approval with no mandate at all. So as I see it, it's totally manipulated tool invented by Beijing. We never endorsed it. So under that law, of course, any correspondences we have, just like talking to you and Ben now, can be a collusion of foreign forces or soliciting interventions under the national security law. And that could lead me to jail for life, and as serious as that. And also there are acts like even chanting slogans itself. If, for example, reviving Hong Kong, revolution now, or free Hong Kong now, itself is an offense, a arrestable offense, and people got arrested for that. So under the national security laws, now it's only been enacted in July. Now there are already 40 arrests and quite a few cases already been in trial. What's ridiculous also about the law is that it allows the administration to pick judges. For the administration to say, I want this justice and that justice to be included in the list. And so only those judges that's been authorized by the administration can hear national security cases. And that's clear intervention of the independence of the judiciary. And the judges in Hong Kong are saying nothing about that. And also the law changed the way the common law have regarding the bail conditions. So now it's more the lawyers and the judges is implying that the burden of proof is on the defendant of under the national security law, that they will not do any harm in endangering the nation. Only when you can prove that, then the bail can be granted. It totally changed the common law the way the bail is granted. That's why I would say that the national security law is a total manipulative tool to suppress people in Hong Kong.
Even to this day, judges from the United Kingdom do go out to the Hong Kong court to sit at the highest level to bring in a sort of, if you like, a wave of external judgment, because Hong Kong's not a big place, and bring their experience to bear. Should those judges be continuing to do that?
British judges are present in political cases and controversial cases. It's a good thing because it wouldn't be that one-sided. When the Chinese judges are leaning more towards the regime, there can be more liberal views in those cases, which can be a good thing. But on the other hand, it's what I'm feeling that it might be an endorsement by the UK's judicial system that the Hong Kong judicial system is working fine still, like in the past, when it's actually eroded already. So if the UK judges can be sending a clear message to the common law world, at least, and to the outside world, that we are not going to endorse you anymore because you are eroded system, you are not different from ours, that would be of use and be a strong pressure on the Hong Kong judicial system of the regime and to Beijing. So I'm more on the view of UK not sending judges to Hong Kong anymore, but then I believe that more than half those practitioners, legal practitioners in Hong Kong still believe that's hope. And when there's outside views into our system, it is something. So if we are under this kind of dilemma, it's a difficult question to answer, really. But the majority of judges now presiding in different levels of courts are Chinese judges. I believe it's because of the appointment system and also some political atmosphere that younger judges, the Chinese judges, even they are trained under the common law system, even it's very similar to the British law, common law, but they tend to be way more conservative.
The young of Hong Kong are obviously, like yourself, struggling with issues of identity, of what they want from the nation in which they live, and issues of freedom. Are they engaged with the conditions that there are for people living in mainland China, like the Uyghur? Is that something that exercises the young of Hong Kong?
Traditionally, no, they might not be that aware. But after the freedom movement, I think young people are more united with different parts of the young people in China. They might not have a lot of a personal touch, or they might not be seeing the news a lot on TV because there's no media freedom in China. But then the young in Hong Kong are exploring on the internet, on social media, ways of connecting with them. And also not only those who are in China, but those who are in Thailand, also fighting police brutality. And those who are in Belarus, they feel somewhat connected.
When you left Hong Kong, were you jumping bail?
Yes, as I left, I had bailed. And I had to say that in the past, as a politician, we expected legal consequences as we did acts like civil obediences, right? But nowadays, under national security law in Hong Kong, it's like the police can always make up a story from nothing at all, something never ever happened. And they accuse you with serious criminal charges on those stories that they make up. And so when you don't believe in the judicial system anymore, and the bail meant nothing to me,
Thank you for joining me today, Ted. It's very good to see you. And I do hope that we can resolve some of the great challenges you and your family are facing and your people back home in Hong Kong. This is the business of us all. It's not just the concern of a few and those who would describe themselves as active in the field of human rights. This is the concern of all of us who believe in freedom, who believe in the importance of liberty, who believe that human rights in our world and the rule of law matter.